Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Al Magg is the co-founder of the Chicago 16-inch Hall of Fame and historian of the game. He's written the first book on the history of 16-inch softball. Al, good morning. It's quite a book. It's very impressive. Lots of great pictures and text. And thanks for including me in there.
Well, of course we have to include you. You did some good stuff for the game. So thank you for having me on. And we got a nice little story about yours. I love the fact that you said if it wasn't for 16-inch softball, you might not have any friends. So,
yeah, read.
I'm in the same boat. I still have the same friends from the 60s, and they're all from softball.
Yeah, this is what I said. For me, the very definition of summer was the first warm day when the softball fields were no longer soggy from the snow-covered winter, and you brought the bat and ball out again. I've often joked that had I not played 16-inch softball my entire life, I would have no friends. Maybe a slight exaggeration, but the fact is many relationships develop because of this game. From my days in Albany Park, choosing my sides with the help of a bat handle at Eugene Park Field, later playing in adult leagues, organizing countless TV and radio teams to play each other or anyone with a good cause looking for publicity. It's a social game, a great game, and nobody just goes home after the final out. There are pizzas to be eaten, beers to drink, stories to tell, and much bonding to do. And Al, why did Chicago become the place for 16-inch softball? I know they know about this, play it a little bit in some other cities, but how come it landed in Chicago?
Well, first, the game started in Chicago. Softball started in Chicago in 1887 at what's known as the Farragut Boat Club, which is now landfill south of Soldiers Field. And they started playing with a boxing glove and bat, and they started playing it indoors. And eventually went outdoors in the early 1920s. The fields are small. Our parks are small. The grammar schools and the high schools where people were playing, they were on gravel in most cases, and they were small. So you had to have a 16-inch size ball. If you play 12-inch, no one played 12-inch then, but they hit the ball. That would go out of the park now. So it stayed in our little world, and some people started taking it out to other cities, as you said.
And I read that text saying 12 inches for girls. Not true, right, Al?
No. I'm not a fan of 12-inch because it seems to be home run derby. I've seen enough of it, especially now that I live in Scottsdale. Everybody just gets up there with these hot bats, as they call them, and try to hit it as far as they can. And when you're about our size, Bob, when people can hit it out of the park, you know it's not a great game. And people get hurt playing the damn game, too. According to some study, 26 people die a year playing 12-inch softball.
What?
Now, in 60, yeah, getting hit in the face and so on. And it's crazy, and plus all the injuries, thousands of them, and concussions. I don't know why they play it, because it's just you get up there, swing as hard as you can, and then in the major leagues, they don't even run it out, run around the bases. They just watch the ball go out of the park. In the 16-inch, the worst things happen, you might hurt your fingers, and if you're a 16-inch player, you do have hurt fingers.
Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah, we orthopedic surgeons have told me you guys keep us in business here. Well, 12-inch is a little closer to baseball, and you get to use your mitt. And I don't know about you, Al. You're playing with guys way too good. I'm not playing with anybody who's going to hit the ball that far in 12-inch. I do like both the games, but of course, grew up playing 16-inch. And we have a big event coming up Sunday. Tell us about this out in Forest Park. And anyone and everyone's invited, aren't they?
Well, yeah. I think that's why I wrote the book, because this year is our 25th anniversary. And you were our first MC of our first dinner in 1996. So thank you for that. And
we're talking about the Chicago 16-inch Hall of Fame.
Yes, sir. And, you know, I don't know about you that night. I wasn't sure if we'd last 25 years. Thank God we did. And we're very proud of it. We've accomplished a lot. You know, we've opened up a beautiful museum in Forest Park, basically at 7501 Harrison. You know, thanks to guys like Ron Kubicki and Ray Topps who built it, and Fritz Zimmerman who made sure this was all done from March pumps. It's a beautiful place, but it's our 25th anniversary, and why not celebrate it? And we thought the best way of celebrating it was on Sunday, invite all the inductees back. Fortunately, there's about 300 still alive, and we've been able to find, what I understand, because I'm keeping track of this, we're well over 150 coming that day. So to come, I just heard one name this morning, a gentleman by the name of Sammy Taylor, who was one of the best players back in the 60s and 70s. You know, when we're starting to hear some great ones from the 60s, 70s, 80s, not counting all the contemporary players, that's going to be quite an attractive day. I think there's going to be a lot of great memories and lies and stories told.
Yeah, we'll play a little a little game, and just come out after lunch to the Chicago 16-inch Softball Hall of Fame in Forest Park. Hang out with us. By the way, Al, I heard you with Landecker. You said I was in the Hall of Fame, and I've said I'm in the media wing, but the way you said, Bob's not in there because of his playing ability. He's in there because of what he's done on TV and radio for the game. I took issue with that, and I dug up some proof that I'm a good athlete for a broadcaster. Listen to this description of one of my games, a big hit I got, play-by-play okay. provided by George Bliss. Listen closely.
All right. Okay, softball fans, here's the situation. Bob Surratt batting, bottom of seventh, two outs. His team is down by three runs. Here's pitch number one. It's a strike. Surratt looks back at the umpire, does not agree with that call. Pitching quickly on the mound, Hall of Famer Mike Tallow. Pitch number two. Clobbered. Hit like a lightning rod. That ball's going to go deep. That's going to go on. Lakeshore Drive for the home run. And Surratt circles the bases. His team picks him up at home plate. Bob Surratt beats the inimitable Mike Tallow with a huge home run on the Lakeshore Drive here at Grant Park. Everybody celebrating in Chicago. On our way to Rush Street to celebrate.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Bob Surratt.
So what if I wrote that for George? Al Magg, it's a great book, Greatest Game on Dirt, and I'll see you on Sunday.
All right. Well, if we look forward to everybody at noon, we'll have some John Vincent's going to sing for us a little bit, and we're going to get the photo of all the inductees at 2, and then we're going to have the game at 2:15, and you can prove how good you are at that point in time, Bob.
It's a deal.